Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right, last week, we looked at the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. We saw the lesson of the loaves. Then Jesus here gives a little pop quiz. Now, it's different than the ones we had in school. We're going to read about it today. It's about Jesus walking on the water. I think that's a pretty cool quiz. I'd like to see your teacher do that. We'll see that the disciples did not pass the quiz, as it tells us in Mark chapter 6, 51 and 52. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. We're going to see that they were afraid. Now, what are you afraid of? A lot of our fears can be irrational. For me, this person takes the cake for irrational fears. Actress Christina Ricci said she suffers from a number of phobias, including an irrational fear of houseplants. The Prozac Nation star told Esquire magazine that plants are dirty. If you have to touch one, after already being repulsed by the fact that there is a plant indoors, then it just freaks me out. Bodies of water frighten her too. I won't swim in a pool by myself because I think that somehow a little magic door is going to open up and let the shark out. Richie is also afraid of ghosts, which she says are real, and lives in fear of being stalked by hulking homicidal men. Now that I'm older but child-sized, I'm very concerned with protecting myself. If I know that I have everything prepared for when I get raped and killed, then I can go to sleep. I feel for her. That's sad to live with that much fear. Now let's read something better, our text from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 14 to 21. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So Jesus fed the 5,000. That was last week. And the people there, the crowd, tried to make him a king. So he went off by himself and he sent his disciples on a boat to go to the other side. And then the crowd is going to search for Jesus. So what's up with Jesus's disappearing act? Why did he separate himself? Let me give you 3 reasons. He needed to reject the call to be a bread king. He needed to reject the call to be the bread king. There are times that we have to walk away from the desires of the people around us. The crowd isn't always right. Secondly, he needed time alone with God. He needed time to hear God's voice at this crucial juncture and not the crowd's voice. He needed time to pray. And especially when we have big decisions that we need to make in life, we need to get alone by ourselves, seek God, and pray. Maybe you need to hear God's voice today. Third reason was he wanted to teach the disciples a lesson. Jesus' miracles are signs, and signs point to something else. This is the 5th sign in John's Gospel, and that sign is that Jesus is the Lord of nature. We're going to see that here in a moment. Jesus wasn't with them in the boat, but the 12 baskets from the remains of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 were in the boat with them. Those baskets should have been a reminder to them of who Jesus is and what he can do. Now, I'm going to blend Mark's account and Matthew's account and John's account in what I share today. And in Mark's account, something stood out. Mark 6:45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. He made them go. That's what stood out to me. He made them. Psalm 23:2, I was reminded of that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Jesus made them go. He wanted them to leave the crowd. The crowd was not going to be any good for them. And I don't think it was their idea to leave at that moment. The crowd wanted to make Jesus king, so that meant they would be pretty important people in the new administration. His cabinet members or generals for sure. But he made them leave. I think that's important. Then in verse 18, they begin to row, and a strong wind was blowing. Now, the Sea of Galilee sits in a deep valley like a cup. I think you can picture that. The nighttime air cools and sinks and rushes through the valleys and canyons leading into the lake. The water temperature on the lake and just above the lake is much warmer. So this clashing of cold air that sinks and warm air over the lake, plus if a storm happens to come by with those winds, that can create a tremendous amount of waves. I didn't realize this since this is a smaller lake. I mean, it's not like one of the Great Lakes, but the waves can get 10 feet high. Now, Matthew says they were tormented by the waves. So I wonder if the demonic was involved here, too. This is really tough. They are now in the middle of a bad storm because Jesus made them get into the boat. Has that ever happened to you? Life storms occur sometimes because we're disobedient. Like Jonah. Remember him? He's fleeing what God's command was. He gets into a boat and there's a tremendous storm at sea for Jonah. It was due to his sin. We can sometimes expect that. But that's not the case here. The disciples were obedient. They were obeying what Jesus told them to do. And what did they get? A nautical nightmare. You know, it's easy to sail when the skies are blue and the winds are calm. But when the sea is splashing into your face, that's when it gets real. Obedience doesn't prevent storms. I think that's an important thing to grasp. Well, I'm obedient. I love the Lord. There shouldn't be this storm happening in my life right now. But storms do strengthen our faith. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? That's all good. Let him who walks in darkness and has no light do what? Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. So Matthew adds that this event is happening between 3 and 6 a.m. They've been rowing for over 6 hours. They're tired. They're scared. It's the darkest time of the night right before the dawn. They're on no sleep. And then they see something, an apparition perhaps. Mark's account says that Jesus saw them and had compassion on them. And that to me is pretty impressive. How Jesus, being miles away up on a mountain, is dark and is stormy. How could he see them? He cared about them. He went to them. But they saw him and were terrified. The Phillips translation says they were scared out of their wits. Because human beings don't walk on water. That's impossible. There is nothing in their brains to process what they're seeing. It was natural for them to become frightened. Now, maybe you picture Jesus walking on a stormy sea, right? And all the waves. I don't know, for some reason, maybe it was childhood Bible pictures. I picture Jesus, what he did, he walked across calm waters like glass. But it wasn't like that at all. It was tremendous waves. And he may have been walking 3 miles from the shore to where they are in the middle of that lake now. He's walked that far on the waters. Now you wonder, how could he do that? How is that possible? Well, you know, I researched this a little bit. And if you could run 67 miles an hour, you could do that. This little video, I think, will give you a clue to how that was possible. Take a look. How about that? 67 miles an hour. Once you are able to master that skill, you will be able to do it too. So the disciples, they see this and they are afraid. Fear distorts reality. Fear is false evidence appearing real. What's the problem with their fears? Number one, their fear kept them from recognizing Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. And that could happen to us. When storms hit in our lives, we don't see Jesus clearly. We become afraid. We see the wind and the waves. We think God doesn't care about us and that he's abandoned us. Second thing, their fear caused them to be afraid of Jesus. We turn from what we are afraid of. We run away from what we're afraid of. And so we can actually run from God. We turn our backs on God and we run from him. Do you know why he put this command in the Bible, fear not? It's supposedly the most repeated command in the Bible. Occurs about 365 times. It's like a one-a-day vitamin. Fear not. Jesus said, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I, ego eimi in the Greek, I am. The same phrase that God said to Moses at the burning bush, I am that I am. Jesus says, I am here. Don't be afraid because I am God. I'm the Lord of nature. Moses may have parted the waters of the Red Sea, but Jesus walked on top of them. And those waters only served to wash his feet. I actually see four miracles in this story. Maybe there's more. The first is Jesus walking on water. The second one is Peter walking on water. Now, only Matthew has that. So I want to read Matthew's account. Chapter 14, verses 28 to 31. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I wonder, why didn't John include this in his story? It's so amazing. A man walking on water, but that's not John's purpose, right? His purpose was to include seven miracles or signs, seven dialogues that show who Jesus is. But Peter did walk on water for a short time, and I think we forget that because we always know Peter sank, but he did walk on the water to Jesus while the other disciples stayed in the boat hiding under the benches. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water to Jesus. But then he took his eyes off Jesus, didn't he? He saw the wind and the waves. And his doubts began to sink him. Our doubts always sink us. But he cried out to Jesus, save me. And Jesus rescued him. And then do you think they swam back to the boat? I don't think so. I think they walked back to the boat. Here's our third miracle in this story, the stilling of the storm. Jesus is the Lord of nature. Fourth miracle, they arrive immediately at shore. Now that one we might miss. That one's easy to miss. Only Jesus can rescue us. Now let's go back and drill down a little bit on the first miracle, Jesus walking on water. How does that help us deal with our fears? Here's the first thing. Jesus moves toward our fears. Jesus moves toward our fears. Remember, he made them get into the boat. Did Jesus know there was going to be a storm that night on the sea for his disciples? Of course he did. Jesus knowingly put them in a difficult spot. Why would he do that? I think to make them face their fears. The ancient Egyptians had a belief that before you died, you had to face your fears. You had to walk through the halls of Amenti, which were long hallway with mirrors on both sides. So you could see nothing but yourself. You had to face yourself before you died. We can't face our fears when we're avoiding them, when we're denying them, when we're running away from them. If I don't face my fears, they wind up destroying me. Listen to Job 3:25. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. The Bible says fear has torment. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm going to have to deal with my fears. Here's the second thing. Jesus enters into our fears because he walks on the waters to me. He enters into the lion's den with Daniel. He enters into the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew young men. We don't want to be in the lion's den. We don't want to be in the fiery furnace, but that's where God is. He's there with us. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Are you wrestling a lion today? Has the heat been turned up really hot in your life? Jesus will enter into that place and be there with you and rescue you. Here's the third thing. Jesus calls us to trust him with our fears. Jesus calls us to trust him with our fears. So they look out, they see Jesus, they recognize him, they bring him into the boat. Then he calms the stormy seas. It becomes still. It's peaceful. He's the Lord of nature. And so then they learn we can trust Jesus in the future when we're in some kind of storm that he's going to be there and deliver us. I don't need to panic. I don't need to be fearful. I don't need to run away. I can pray and trust. I know our fears seem very big and scary to us, but they are nothing to Jesus. Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I realize that it's my fears that I have that brought Jesus to me upon those stormy waters and then into the boat. We experience him then as our deliverer. Peter experienced him as his deliverer. When he sank, Jesus rescued him. He grabbed him and pulled him up. And then I believe comforted him in the boat. Fourthly, Jesus moves us away from our fears. He takes them immediately to the other side. Sometimes he'll do it immediately. Sometimes it's going to take a while. He's going to do it later. But he will deliver you to the other side. I want you to understand this morning, if you have some fears you're really grappling with, that there is another side to your fears, a brighter side, a side of hope, of deliverance, of life, of freedom, of peace, of victory. Jesus will take you to the other side. Now, I want you to think about your fears, if you have any. What are you dealing with today? What are some of the most common fears? Listen to this list of the most common fears. Is it one of yours? Speaking in public? Getting fat? Going out alone at night? Visiting the dentist? Dying? Yeah, that would be a big one. Spiders? And other insects, swimming in the ocean, definitely. Heights, flying, large crowds. Do you know that pastors have fears too? Altar call phobia. Fear when you have an altar call, no one comes. Dyslexophobia, fear that from the pulpit you will mispronounce the name of the church's largest donor. Hemophobia, fear that you will have to sing all seven stanzas of the deacon's favorite hymn. Ecclesiophobia, fear of church except for Easter and Christmas. And offering plate aphobia. I think that one speaks for itself. Me personally, I do not like deep water. Swimming in the ocean, no good. No way. I'm not a big fan of needles. I tolerate them. I'm afraid of past hurts because I think it's going to happen again. Some folks fear failure. Some fear people. Some fear rejection. Some fear success. Now, I know that sounds strange, right? Isn't success what we all want? But sometimes we don't. So we sabotage ourselves because we know if I become successful, everything's going to change. When I was young, I used to really fear, this was my biggest one, insignificance. I thought the idea of not accomplishing something in life, of not making a difference, man, that was horrifying to think my whole life I'll just be a nobody and a nothing. Man, I didn't want that. But you know what? As I get older, I'm not worried about that. I just want God's word to speak to people and help them and make a difference. So Jesus wants you to know him as your deliverer. So what are you afraid of? Maybe it's big. Maybe it's small. Doesn't matter. Don't compare your fears with someone else. What's real to you? If you want to go on in your walk with Christ, you want to serve him, you're going to have to face your fears. God will make you. Well, then I won't serve God. Sadly, some people decide that. The crowd we're going to see next week, the crowd that wanted to follow Jesus while everything was going great, then they fell away. They didn't have to face their fears, but the disciples did have to, and you will too. I believe that this miracle here is a foretaste of what was going to happen soon in the disciples' life in a different way. Jesus was going to soon die on the cross. The disciples were going to be all alone. They were going to be afraid. But Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And Jesus was going to come to them. And Jesus was going to be joyfully reunited with them. And they would have hope again in their hearts. I think the same thing is true for us. Right now, Jesus is in heaven. And we're here on this earth. We're in a big storm, too. This world is dark and bad in many, many ways. And Jesus sees us down here and he has compassion on us and he's going to come again and he's going to bring us to where he is, home. Listen to John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In John 6:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So when Jesus comes back for us, instead of walking on water out to him, we're going to fly. Like Superman. He's going to take us to the other side with him in heaven. So fear not, my friends. Says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So give him your fears today. If you feel like you're sinking today, then just cry out to Jesus, save me, and he will. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for this story. It does have so much to say to us and help us to deal with our fears. That we need not walk in fear, be paralyzed by fear, be bound by fear. We can just give them over to you right now. Lord, we surrender these fears to you. We don't want to keep walking in them. Liberate, set free today by the truth of your word, Lord, those who are suffering and bound by fear. May they experience the deliverance and victory of you rescuing them, saving them, pulling them out of the water, walking to them and being with them. Come to us, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.